And then we'll jump down to the 12th chapter together. John chapter 1 and verse number 1. Notice what the Bible says in the first verse. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, then you should find one in front of you. You could follow along with our message this morning. John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Verse 12, the Bible says this, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Let's pray together. Lord, thank You so much for the wonderful opportunity that we have to gather together, Lord, on this day. We're grateful for the wonderful sunshine. Lord, we know that You are the creator of all of it. And we are truly a blessed people. And I pray, Lord, that You would help us to be attentive to Your word. I know there are many things that are trying to grab our attention this morning, but I pray that our focus would be on Your word and its truths for our lives. And I pray, Lord, that You would bind Satan and his demons, that Your word, this seed, would grow in our hearts and in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that You'd be glorified. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Gospel of John, it really is a message, or teaches us the message of the gospel. And the gospel is the good news. It's a message about Jesus coming to this sinful world and dying for our sin. And then also, the Gospel of John records for us humanity believing in Him. The Bible speaks of the prophets believing the prophecy of the coming Messiah, the believing Jews and the Gentiles. As we open the Bible, we see that Christ was born in this world, and we find Mary believing, we see Joseph believing, the shepherds, the wise men. We see the disciples and then the early church. And from that very day when that foundation was laid, millions and millions of people believed on Jesus Christ. They believed that Jesus is the Son of God. And they believed that He died for their sins. They trusted in Him for their salvation. And this is what the Bible is saying in our text this morning. The Word, the living eternal Word. The Word expresses the power and the eternal God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It was the prophet Isaiah that penned these words, that the name of the child will be called Emmanuel, and it will be God with us, because God came to this world. He became flesh, and He dwelt among us. He walked on the earth that He created. Think about that. He breathed our air. He felt our pain. He knew our sorrow. He suffered for our sin. And the Bible says that we beheld His glory. We saw the glory of God, the disciples penned. Jesus Christ coming to this earth, being born of a virgin. Jesus did not stop being God. He is fully God. He is fully man. And when He was on this earth, He was the God-man. But the question is, when we look at this passage of Scripture, is not that Jesus came. The question is not that Jesus came, because really that's not really up for debate this morning. That's a stated fact. That's a historical truth. But the question is, do you believe in Jesus? And not merely do you believe in the historical fact of Jesus, But do you believe on Jesus Christ exclusively to be your Savior? Do you believe that He is the forgiver of your sins and the provider of a home in heaven? The Bible says this in Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And I want to remind you this morning of this important truth, that your faith is only as strong as the object of your faith. And the object of our faith today, if we're going to go to heaven, has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. So why believe? Can I give you some thoughts this morning? Number one, I want us to think about the basis of our belief. Would you turn with me to the book of Romans and the 10th chapter? Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Notice what the scripture says, the 17th verse of the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. The Bible says this, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And so the basis of our faith is the word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. You listen as I read this verse. The Bible says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Let me tell you what our church believes about the Bible this morning. We believe this morning that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In other words, this morning, this book that we hold in our hand is not a book written by humanity. The Bible is not a book of man's opinions. It's not a book about good ideas to live a full life. This is the Word of God, and it is written by God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And our faith is only as strong as our foundation. And our foundation is the Word of God. And so the Bible teaches us that God's Word must be heard. We must hear the Word of God. We think about all of the characteristics of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and she was a prepared woman. She was a pure woman. She was a pondering woman. But yet Mary heard God when He spoke to her. And I think all that's happening in our world today, you think of all the events that are happening in our world today. Our world, by the way, our world is a mess. And if you think about all the events that are taking place in our world today, you say, why are all these things taking place? What is going on in our world today? I'll tell you what's happening. God is speaking to us. And He's saying that my word is truth. He's saying that my prophecies will come to pass. You can trust the Bible for your life. God's word is truth revealed. And God's word teaches us about life. It teaches us about death, and it teaches us about the life to come. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." And I hope today that you'll hear the word of God. I hope today you'll hear God speak. I hope that you're not dull of hearing and you're just going to ignore everything that God is saying in the world today. Hey, listen, friend, God's word has to be heard. But God's word also has to be received. You see, many will hear it, but not everyone will receive it. You know the story in Matthew 7. It's the story of the foolish man and the wise man. And the foolish man, he built his house upon the sand. Of course, any builder knows that a foundation of sand is not a good foundation. But he built his house upon the sand. And the wise man, he built his house upon the rock. And the Bible says the storms came and the house upon the rock, it stood firm. But the house on the sand, it crumbled and fell. And God's word says, great is the fall of it. You say, why was the fall great? Because The man who built his house upon the sand, don't miss this, he knew better. Because both the wise men and the foolish men heard, but only one received. The Bible says in verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. You see, the wise man hears and receives, but the foolish man hears and rejects. And if we're not careful, we can just, you know, we hear the Bible and it can be just more noise in our life. It can be just another thing. And yet the Bible says we have to hear the Bible. We have to receive the Bible because the Bible is the basis of our faith. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way to eternal life. He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by Christ. Hear God speak and receive his message today. But not only do I notice in the Bible the basis of our belief, but also there's the baseline of our belief. Look what the Bible says in verse 10 of Romans 10. The Bible says this, Romans chapter 10 and verse number 10. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, when someone receives Christ, at the baseline of their response is a confession of that faith in Jesus Christ. And there are many ways that someone would confess their faith. Baptism is a way of confessing our faith. When someone is faithful for years to the Word of God, they're faithful to the Bible, that's a confession of their faith. When someone is convicted of their sin and gets their heart right with God, that is indeed a confession of their sin. And yet at the very beginning, the Bible says that when someone is saved, at the very baseline of that relationship with God or that restoration, there is a confession of their faith. The Bible says with the mouth confession, a confession is made. And there are many confessions in the Bible that we read about. We notice in John 11, the confession of Martha in verse 27, the Bible says, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. That's a great confession. And I'm here to confess to you today that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the Roman cross and he shed his blood for our sin, and I believe that he died. I believe that he was buried in a borrowed tomb, but friend, I also believe that he lives today. And we serve a risen Savior. I believe that Jesus died for me and that he died for you. And I confess today that he is my door and my way to the Father, and that without Jesus, I would perish and you would perish. And I confess that he's coming back one day, any day. And on that day, if I'm still on this earth, I will meet the Savior in the air. And I believe that one day when I die, when my heart stops beating, when my lungs stop filling with air, I believe that I will see my Savior face to face. And as Psalm 23 teaches us, that I will be forever with the Lord. I believe that. I believe that. You know, when someone believes something, when they truly believe something, they're going to talk about it. And we see that in our world today. I mean, there's a lot of chatter about lots of different things that are happening, lots of conspiracies, lots of things. And I mean, listen, the reality is people talk about what they believe. They talk about what they believe in. And when someone believes in Jesus, there is that confession that we believe that Jesus is not only the Savior of the world, but he's our Savior. And he died for us. And we would be lost without him. there's a confession. I want to read to you a passage of Scripture in John chapter 4. This is the story of, we call the woman at the well. In John chapter 4, let me read this passage of Scripture to you. The Bible says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence thou hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. Ye know that we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, Whom seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And then they went out of the city and came unto him. See, we hear the message, but we also have to receive the message. You know, it's a wonderful blessing to know the gospel. And the gospel is life-changing. The gospel is the good news of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we can't just hear the gospel, we have to receive the gospel. And we have to accept that gospel into our hearts. And at the very baseline of that receiving is the confession of who Jesus is. And we see in this passage of Scripture that this woman's life would never be the same. It would never be the same. Because she not only heard the message, she received it into her heart. She received it into her heart. And if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ today, then do not hesitate to let someone know what is in your heart. What is in your heart? I want to think about, thirdly, this morning, and I'll be done, the blessing of believing. The blessing of believing. You know, there's a great blessing in believing today. And I don't know who told you about salvation, or I don't know who told you about knowing God, but I want you this morning to hear from Jesus himself. The Bible says in John chapter 10 and verse 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Listen, the blessing of receiving the gospel is eternal life. Now, our church is, we are on this, in 2023, we're on this There Is Hope campaign, and we've been putting out tens of thousands of postcards in the surrounding area that just simply says, "There is hope." And on that postcard, there's a gospel message. And we have positive feedback, and we also get not so positive feedback. But the reality is, I believe that deep in the heart of every individual, they're asking the same question when they look at our world. Is there any hope? Is there any hope? And I'll tell you, friend, today that there is no hope in politics. And there is no hope in policies. The hope that we have is found in Jesus Christ. And only in Jesus Christ. And the blessing of believing is to know for sure that when you leave this old world, you have an eternal home in the heavens. And that's the greatest blessing you could ever have, is to lay your head on the pillow at night and to know that if your heart stops beating tonight, you'll be with Jesus. The greatest blessing. The blessing is eternal life. And Jesus said, "I've come to give you eternal life." Jesus was talking to a man named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a religious man, but he was a lost man. And Jesus said, "Nicodemus, you have to be born again." And he gives Nicodemus this incredible truth. He says, "Listen, Nicodemus, the condemnation is not found in Jesus coming. Jesus came not to condemn you. Jesus came to save you. But the condemnation is that you would reject Jesus Christ and the work of Calvary." You see, Jesus came to give you life, but the devil has always tried to kill and to destroy and to steal life. The devil is busy trying to kill, to destroy, and to steal your joy. And you can have abundant life today found in Jesus Christ and receiving the gospel. Now, what is eternal life? The Bible defines eternal life in John 17, verse 3. "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." So you see, don't miss this, friend. Eternal life is knowing God and God knowing you. That's a relationship, by the way. And that's a relationship with the true God. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, the Bible talks about individuals that come to God in the last day, and they've done so many wonderful things. I mean, they even cast out devils in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 21, let these words sink in. He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name many wonderful works. That's a wonderful resume. But Jesus says, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. No relationship. They never knew God, and God never knew them. And he says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. This teaches us an important truth, that salvation is not found in the things that we do. Salvation is found in the merit of Christ and Christ alone. And the Bible says in Jesus we could have abundant life. This blessing is for all those who receive the message of the gospel. You know, friend, I don't have enough power to get you to heaven. I don't have enough money to get you to heaven. And you don't have enough influence to get there. Only Jesus Christ can get you to heaven today. And salvation is believing. Do you believe today? You see, we need to believe that we all need a Savior. The Bible is clear about our condition, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. We are all in great need to be saved. We read about in the Bible the law of God. And the law of God was given to us not so that we would keep it or to help us, but God gave his law to leave us helpless. It is the knowledge of our sin. It is through the law that we realize that, wait a minute, we cannot keep God's standard. God is up here and I'm down here. Paul says that the law is my schoolmaster, my teacher to bring me to Christ. The reality is we fall short. Repentance is changing our mind about our sin and ourself and our Savior, and then in turn it changes our direction. And Paul said of the church of Thessalonica that they turned to God, and when they turned to God, they also turned from idols. And the Bible says we need to turn to God today. Our country needs to turn to God today. So many people believe that their life is better without God. They are wrong. They are wrong. We need to believe that Jesus paid for our sins. Listen, I can't forgive your sin. Pastors are sinners. Priests are sinners. A sinner cannot save you. Only Jesus Christ can forgive your sins today. The Bible says that Jesus was born of a virgin. He did not have the blood of the Adamic human race. His blood was perfect and pure. It was precious. And in his body, Peter said, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That we can have eternal life today. And the Bible says if we hear the message and receive the message, and for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Bible says that Jesus washes our sins away. Could you imagine having a great debt today and to be able to leave this building with no debt at all? You have a great sin debt. And Jesus is willing today to pay that debt in full if you would receive that wonderful message. I was talking to a man once about salvation. And he said to me, well, Pastor Burns, you don't understand. I've always been a Christian. And I said, sir, you've always been a sinner. But you have to choose Christ. And today you need to choose the Lord Jesus. Do you believe today? I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to be baptized. I'm not even asking you to perform in a certain manner in your life. I'm asking you, are you born again? Is your salvation found in the merit of Jesus and Jesus alone? If you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven when this life is over? You'd say, well, Pastor Burns, I hope so. Maybe that, I hope so. Listen, the most important decision of your life should never be a guess. You can know so today. These things are written that ye may know that ye have eternal life. God wants you to know. He wants you to have abundant life. And so not only do you hear the message, receive it today into your life. Trust in Christ because he wants to save you today. And I know this, it will be the greatest decision that you ever make in your life. Christian, if you've strayed from the Lord, he's calling you back. He wants you to live your life for him. Don't believe the lies of the devil anymore. Come to the Lord Jesus. Live for him. It's the abundant life. Let's pray together, can we? Father, thank you so much for your word. And I pray.